Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm Eddie Hyatt, your host. So glad you joined me today. We're continuing our theme of amazing women in the Bible. Today we're going to be looking at a woman in the New Testament by the name of Lydia, whom God used in an incredible way to help launch the very first church in Europe. Wow. We read about her story in Acts chapter 16, and we will begin reading at verse 13. Lydia was a successful businesswoman, the head of a household, and the characteristic that stands out to us is her faith-based hospitality. She was a very hospitable woman that welcomed four traveling missionaries into her home, allowed them to make her home the base of their operations, and then she allowed the first church in Europe to meet in her home. And because of her hospitality, the gospel took root in Europe for the very first time, and from there spread throughout that entire region. Wow. And so, Acts chapter 16, verse 13, the context of the story is that Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he has three traveling companions, Silas, Luke, and Timothy. They are not sure where to go in preaching the gospel. And in this particular night, Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia. And in the vision, the man is saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, he says in chapter 16 of Acts, verse 10, he says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they immediately headed for Macedonia. They came to the first major city of Macedonia, which was Philippi. Now normally, Paul would first go to the synagogue in any city in the Gentile world, because there were synagogues in most of the cities, at least the major cities. In Philippi, there was no synagogue. Now, this indicates that the Jewish population was very small, because according to Jewish law and tradition, that there had to be 10 men who were heads of households for a synagogue to be established. So obviously, in Philippi, there were not 10 Jewish men who were heads of households, indicating the small Jewish population. But there was a group of Jewish women. Now, I say Jewish women. They probably included Gentiles. In verse 13, who met together on the Sabbath by the river for prayer. Now, these women probably included Jewish women, but probably also included Gentile proselytes, those Gentiles who had converted to Judaism and had adopted all the ways, the practices, and regulations of the Jewish faith. But then there were also God-fearers. These were Gentiles who were attracted to the faith of Israel, to the God of the Jews. But they weren't ready to make that commitment and become proselytes and commit themselves to keeping all of the Jewish laws and festivals and regulations. They would attend the synagogues, and they were called God-fearers. So in the synagogue, there were these three kinds of people. There were the Jews who were Jews by birth. There were the Jewish proselytes, and there were the God-fearers. It is likely that these women who met by the river for prayer probably included all of these. Now, Luke picks up the story here in Acts 16:13. He says, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Here's something about Paul the Apostle which shows how his thinking has been radically transformed by his conversion to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jewish custom and tradition and law might require 10 Jewish men for opening a synagogue, but Paul had no problem starting a Christian church with a group of praying women. And Luke says, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now this shows something about Paul's personality and his character. He's very down to earth and very personal, very human. He doesn't go there and try to preach a sermon. He doesn't invite them to a meeting to hear him and the others preach and sing. No, they sat down, they related to them like people, like persons, and they got on their same level and eye to eye and had an open conversation with them. He treated them like persons. And as they talked to them, verse 14 says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So this woman is a businesswoman. She's not a native of Philippi. She has moved there probably for business purposes. She is from another city called Thyatira, which was a part of that same province, Roman province called Asia, not the continent of Asia, but a Roman province which encompassed what would be present-day Turkey. She had moved there, and she obviously was a very successful businesswoman. She was a seller of purple, of dyed garments. Purple was a very expensive dye and was used especially by royal families. And purple garments were very expensive. And so, obviously, she has a successful business there in Philippi. And can you imagine Paul sitting there and talking, conversing, talking to Lydia? She's free to ask questions. And they're sitting there eye to eye, face to face, and they're talking and conversing. And as they're talking, Luke says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. All pray that God, when you're talking to people, and maybe it seems their hearts are hard, ask God to open their heart. And God opened this woman's heart. And Luke then says, listen to this. And when she and her household were baptized. Oh, she and her household. She's the head of a household. Now, Luke doesn't tell us how she came to be the head of a household. It's possible she was a widow. It's also possible that she was a single woman who had built this successful business. And in the first century, a household was not a biological family consisting of a mother and father and children. A household included servants, slaves, their families. And especially if the head of the household was very successful, it might include extended family, parents, aunts, uncles, and so on. So depending on how successful the head of the household was, a household could consist of hundreds of people. And so obviously she has quite a large household, and her household is very committed to her and hold her in high esteem, because when she decided to put her faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized, her entire household decided to follow her, and her entire household was baptized, showing the status, the influence, and the prominence of Lydia. Now, after this, Luke says, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Here is her hospitality. Here is her hospitable spirit and character, inviting these four men. Apparently, her house, her estate, was large enough that she had no problem immediately hosting four grown men. And so she pleaded with us, Luke said, and so she persuaded us. And so Lydia's home becomes the base of the missionary operations of Paul, Silas, Luke, and Timothy there in the city of Philippi. And then she goes further and she opens her heart of hospitality. She opens her house, her estate, to be the meeting place for the first church in Europe. Now, of course, the word church in the New Testament is a translation of the word ecclesia. Has nothing to do with a building. It is people gathered together for worship. Gathered together in the name of Christ. I think it's in Matthew, is it 18, 19, which I believe is the simplest definition of a church gathering. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so Lydia's house becomes the meeting place for the very first church in Europe. Now, this is confirmed also by the fact that in the end of Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are departing from Philippi, and you know the story in between here, which we won't go into detail, Paul and Silas cast the fortune-telling demon out of a young slave girl. She lost her ability to tell people's fortunes, and her masters were infuriated. They had Paul arrested, publicly beaten, thrown in prison. But Paul and Silas did not take on, they did not have a pity party. They did not become doubtful and questioning, and why did God let this happen to us? But when midnight came, they were praying and praising God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't doing it quietly. And God sent an earthquake, shook that prison physically and spiritually. And the Bible says that everyone's bands were loosed and all the prison doors were opened, but not a single prisoner left. I think that we can assume that most, if not all, of those prisoners became part of the church in Philippi. We know that the jailer did. The jailer was so overwhelmed, he came and fell down before Paul and said, "And Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul baptized him and his entire household. And so the church in Philippi is multiplying by the grace and power of God. Now, the magistrates released Paul and Silas. And after they were released, where did they go? Hey, they went to the meeting place for the ecclesia in Philippi. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 40 of Acts 16. So they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers and sisters, they encouraged them and departed. Isn't this amazing? Paul and Silas have been through this terrible ordeal of being arrested, publicly beaten, thrown in prison. But now before they leave, they're encouraging the brothers and sisters. But they had been encouraged because they had seen God come through. Now, but the point I wanted to make was, where did they go when they got out of prison? They headed for Lydia's house. That was the meeting place for the very first church in Europe. Some years later, Paul was in Rome under house arrest. And he wrote a letter to these Philippians, these same people. It is his most personal and affectionate letter. And in chapter 4, verse 3 of Philippians, he refers to Lydia, not by name, but to those women. You remember? He started with those women who met for prayer down by the river. And in his letter to the Philippians, I'll read verses 2 and 3. He says, I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, the fact that he would single out these women by name, this letter is written to the entire congregation. Apparently, they've had a falling out. The fact that he would single them out by name, because these are the only people he singles out by name in this letter, they must be women of prominence in the congregation whose division has the potential to cause further divisions in the congregation. And he singles them out and says, I implored with you, I plead with you, Euodia and Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, some people believe Now, we don't know this, but it is a possibility that one of these women might have been Lydia. Because in Acts, the word Lydia is used as an adjective, literally the Lydian. You see, she was from Thyatira, which was a city in a region called Lydia. And so in Acts, she is referred to as the Lydian, like we would say the German or the Italian. She was the Lydian. And so some think that this may have been Lydia that one of them he's referring to. And of course, again, we don't know this. But let's go on and read verse 3. But obviously, these women are women of prominence in the congregation for Paul to single them out by name. And verse 3, he says, and I urge you also, true companion. The King James says, yoke fellow. And that's literally the Greek, yoke fellow. I urge you also, true yoke fellow, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Now, who is the yoke fellow? There are different people have, you know, postulated and speculated about who this yoke fellow might be. I tend to think that it is a metaphor for the entire Philippian congregation, because Paul says in this letter, he indicates how the Philippians had yoked up with him and partnered with him in his missionary journeys, because he tells them further along in chapter 4 that when he departed Macedonia, he said, you were the only ones who continued to support me in my missionary journeys. And he said, not once but twice you sent me gifts. They had yoked up with Paul in his ongoing missionary journeys to the Greco-Roman world. And so he says, I urge you also, true yoke fellow, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Or I'm reading New King James. Other translations would say, help those women who labored with me in the gospel. Well, let me read to you. Now, those women who labored him with in gospel, definitely that is Lydia. That's those women that he started the church in Europe with, down who were these praying women who met by the river every Sabbath to pray. Let me read a quote from Gerald Hawthorne, a New Testament scholar, and this is in the Word Bible Commentary. He says that Paul, in this passage, uses a metaphor when he says, help those women who labored with me in the gospel. He said that it means to fight together side by side with. So Paul said, help those women who fought together side by side with me in the gospel. This clearly indicates that Paul saw these women, including Lydia, not as peons under him, but as highly esteemed members of his team who had labored at his side in the cause of Christ. So here is Lydia, this woman of faith, but of great hospitality. A woman hospitable. The word hospitable means to be friendly and welcoming to strangers and guests. Doesn't that describe Lydia? She opened her home to these four missionaries that she had just met. And then she opens her home for the meeting place, the gathering place for the church in Philippi. Wow. Now, it is incredulous to think that this woman, this successful, prominent businesswoman, who was the head of her own household, overseeing a household and a successful business, that when the church met in her house, that she sat over in the corner and wasn't allowed to say anything. No, absolutely. That is foolish thinking. And in my book, Paul, Women, and Church, I talk about Lydia and other women that God used and that Paul talks about. But I also explain passages where Paul said things like, let your women be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. And I show, looking at the context in which that was written and to whom it was written, and looking at the original language, that statement has been totally misused and abused. Paul was not silencing women. In fact, I'll give you a little hint. Paul was actually there quoting something the Corinthians had said to him in a letter that he then responded to. But get my book, Paul, Women in Church. It's available on Amazon. It's also available on my website, eddiehyatt.com. And remember Hebrews 13:1. Remember Lydia, and also remember Hebrews 13:1, where the writer of Hebrews says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers or to be hospitable to strangers, for some thereby have entertained angels unawares. So may we be people of hospitality led by the Spirit of the living God. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Thank you for being with me today. I look forward to seeing you next time on the Awakening Podcast.